world's wisdom teaches us that if it's successful, it must be right. I heard a person say one day, well, the church that I go to, it works for my family, so it must be right. And that's the idea that most people have. If it's successful, then it must be right. Ladies and gentlemen, there's many times when Jesus didn't have numbers, that Jesus didn't have crowds. Jesus didn't have anybody but himself, and the crowds left him, and turned to his disciples and said, will you leave also? Whenever Jesus went to the cross to be crucified, whenever he was standing before the people, being judged, having his beard pulled out, being slapped, and having his teeth beat with gravel stones, the Bible said, and they took their fist and they beat him in the face. That even he looked upon his disciples, and Peter cursed that he even knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, would you say Jesus Christ was a failure in the world's eyes? They consider that a failure. They consider that a failure. The Bible said, supposing that gain is godliness. Well, we have crowds. This must be godly. We have money. This must be godly. We have a building. This must be godly. That is the idea. That is the mindset of people. They look upon a little building like this and they say, that isn't a church. That isn't a church. Well, what is a church? A building? What is a church? Because you have somebody that went to Bible college or whatever else, and he can get up and give you a sermonette, and he never tell you the truth about yourself, your soul, your sin. And he get up and tell you all the little wonderful things that you want to hear about yourself. Is that a church? No, that's not a church. It's not a church. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. I read a statement the other day, people that think that the truth is hate is people that usually hate the truth. They count the truth as hate because they hate the truth. Okay. And ladies and gentlemen, you look at the sodomite, they think that the truth is hate. The sodomite thinks the truth is hate. Why? Because he hates the truth. And there's never been a nation that's ever been blessed that supported and that pampered sodomites. There's never been one. There's never been one to make it. You look down through the pages of history. I was listening to J. Vernon McGee not too long ago talking about the downfall of America. And he was talking about the downfall of the Roman Empire. And he talked about their government, the way that the government was set up and everything else. And by the way, just a little note out there. Did you know that in Arizona, they found buried out in the desert one day a Roman sword from a Roman army from over 1,000 years ago? Isn't that something? How come that don't ever get told in the history books? They say the Catholics were the first ones here. There was Roman soldiers that were marching the United States of America before Christopher Columbus ever stepped foot in America. Ain't that something? You don't ever hear about that, though, do you? It's something. You know what? They found in Ohio a few years ago it was the Ten Commandments. They found it. Ten Commandments that were carved into rock, buried deep under the ground. They were digging some stuff up. They found the Ten Commandments that were over 2,000 years old. Isn't that something? Just holding that out there. It has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. But it's amazing. Supposing that gain is godliness. They think gain is godliness. It's amazing how the world measures success. You know what? We ought to consider what God considers success. What? You know what success is to God? It's being obedient to Him, living according to this word, being born again, being saved. That's success. What else could you possibly want in the sight of God? You know, the rich man in Luke chapter 16, he died and in hell he lifted up his eyes. The world would say, be like that man. The world would say, whenever you grow up, children, you want to pattern yourself after him. But whenever they looked at Lazarus down on the street begging for his food, you know, I imagine that the passerby said, children, when you grow up, don't be like that man. But you know what God said about him? God said that he was a successful man. He was a bum on the street, and God said he was a success. And God looked at the rich man and said, he's going to burn in hell one of these days. He's a failure. He's a failure. You can be a billionaire and be a failure in the sight of God.
Sure.
Isn't that something? You can have everything that you could ever want and be a failure in the sight of God. And that's something, it's amazing how we look at things and how we measure success. They count our church is successful because we run this many. I heard a preacher say not too long ago, he said, what do you mean? How many have we run off? How many do you run? He said, what do you mean? How many have we run off? But that's what a lot of folks, ladies and gentlemen, consider success. How many do you run? Nobody asked, hey, have y'all, how many people in your church has been born again, saved, and their lives changed? Nobody asked about that. That isn't what matters. What matters is, how many are you running? How many are you running? That's all that matters. Why? Because gain is godliness. Ladies and gentlemen, we do the same thing in our own lives. Same thing in our own lives. This is what the Bible said. And this is dealing really with a lot of religious people, religious leaders, and everything else. Why? Because the devil puts a temptation out upon preachers, evangelists, missionaries to sell out for money. It's just a reality of it. If I could, the devil tells them, if you'd stop saying this or that, you might could get some people. You know what? If our church would stop holding the standard of salvation is what the Bible says, we could probably grow. We could, as a church, we could swell. If we would change the standard of what the Bible says salvation is, you might could get some more people. If we tell them that they're saved, I know how a lot of these churches run. I know how a lot of them operate. They'll get people to make professions of faith and immediately want them to have some kind of position in the church so they'll stay. So they'll stay. They'll get them to do something so that they'll stay. They'll get them invested in it so that they'll hang around. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a grief to God. It's a grief to God. And those people, they never were regenerated. They never were really born again. They just ran them through a profession of faith. But they'll get them to do something just so that they feel important so they'll stick around. That's what I'm saying to you. It's amazing.
That's exactly right.
Why? Because gain is godliness. That's what they said. That's what they say. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said that godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, you look all through the pages of the Word of God, you start at the very beginning with Adam and Eve. Eve had everything that she could ever want as far as food, but she couldn't eat of one tree. You know what she did whenever she was tempted? Whenever she was tempted, she ate of that tree. Why? Because the devil got her to think in her heart, what I have isn't enough. What I have isn't, I can have something more. I can have something better. I got fellowship with God. I don't have to sit around and my conscience eat at me all the time. That isn't enough. I got to have more than that. I can be like God. I can be as a God. I'm not content with where I'm at. I'm not content with having every tree in the Garden of Eden. I need something else. I got to have something better. I got to have something more. I got to have something greater. I got to have something else to thrill me. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem with pleasure today, the Bible said that people in the world, in the end times, that they'd be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And the problem with pleasure is that it never satisfies. Pleasure never satisfies anybody.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, it never satisfies anybody. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're not content with what you have today, you'll not be content with more. If you're not happy with what you have today, you'll never be happy with more. If you got more, you'd want more. If you got more, then you'd want more. If you're not content with what you have today, you'll never be satisfied with anything. You never will. Jesus said, with food and raiment, that's what he said here in this text. See if I can find it real quick. I think I passed it. I'll just read it until I find it. I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things and before Christ Jesus, whom Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep the commandment without spot and unrebukable unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in times past shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, no man hath seen
seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them which are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do, you know what, I passed it. There it is. Verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. If you didn't have a car, and all you had was food and clothes, would you be content? He didn't say with a house. If you didn't have a house, and all you had was food and clothes, would you be content? If you wouldn't be content in that state with food and with clothes, you ain't going to be content with anything. You wouldn't be content with $1 million. You wouldn't be content with any of it. You know what great gain is? Contentment with godliness. That's great gain. To be godly. To be godly. We don't like that, do we? We want money. We want money. I tell you, our hearts are so wicked, my friend. A lot of times we deceive ourselves. We wouldn't spit on Jesus Christ if he was on fire. We wouldn't spit on God. We don't care nothing. We don't a bit more care about Jesus Christ. I was talking to my wife the other day. I don't hardly know anybody that believes the Bible. I don't hardly know anybody. I could probably count on my hand the people that believe the Bible. I'm talking about I can count on my hand people that I believe they believe the Bible.
Right.
And most of them ain't in here. Just throwing that out there. I can count on my hand the people that I 100% believe they believe the Bible. I believe Sammy Allen believed the Bible. I believe John Asquith believes the Bible. I believe Brother McVeigh believes the Bible. I believe Del Moore believes the Bible. I believe our pastor believes the Bible. I believe Mike Church believes the Bible. I believe that. And there ain't many more. I believe Rick Rose believes the Bible. Travis Clayton. There ain't too many church members I know who believes the Bible. You know when they believe the Bible? When they're sitting in the pews. Do you believe that people are going to hell? Do you believe people are going to hell? I mean, do you really believe people are going to hell? I mean, think about it. Do you really believe people are going to hell? If you really believed it, you'd care. You'd be more concerned about the souls of people than you would ever making a penny. We believe more in our bills than we do people going to hell in Jesus Christ. Do you really believe that you're going to stand before a holy God one of these days? That you're going to stand before a holy God one of these days? How come we could just throw it? You know, about the only time people use the name of Jesus Christ is when they want to win an argument or they want to cut somebody's heart out of them. How about standing before a holy God with that? You're going to stand before a holy God using his name in vain.
Right.
The Bible said that, and the Lord will not hold them guiltless that taketh his name in vain. The only time we want to bring up God is to win an argument. You know why? Because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. In our Baptist churches, we have people that sit in our pews, in our Baptist churches, that would say, Jesus is the Son of God. They don't believe a word of it. They don't believe a word of it. I said all that. People really don't believe half the Bible that they claim that they do. They just believe it when it's convenient to. That's all they have. That's all they have. If you believe you're going to stand before God, you live a lot different than what you do.
If you believe that you're going to stand before God, you might not let certain words fly out of your mouth. If you believe that you're going to stand before God, you might be grateful for what you have. Is that something? What are you saying? I'm saying, I'm telling you, friend, that we ought to be content. We ought to be happy with what God gives us. I remember when I was growing up, we didn't get asked what we were going to eat. We ate what was on the table. And you know what? Found out to be thankful for it. Be thankful for it. I told my wife the other day, there's not a thing I can't think of anything that I wouldn't eat. Somebody was to make me some. You know what I dislike more than anything is a bologna sandwich. I dislike that about more. You know, I hear all these Baptist preachers, bologna sandwich this, bologna sandwich that. I'm like, please, I'm about to throw up. But you know what? If I was at somebody's house and they said, we're going to eat bologna sandwiches,
glory,
I would take that bologna sandwich and I'd eat it. And I'd say, thank you. And you know what? I think I ought to be grateful for it. I know what it's like not to eat.
Sure.
Know what it's like not to eat. And some of it willfully. But you know what? You get hungry enough, you'll eat a cockroach.
Right.
I told my wife and daughter, because my little daughter, we went through the McDonald's drive-thru. She said, well, I don't like anything for breakfast there. And I said, that's all right. You ain't going to eat. This ain't good enough for you. I ain't going to buy you nothing. She started crying and everything else. I said, what are you crying for? You don't like what they have. I said, you next time you learn not to open your mouth.
It's good. Amen.
Next time you learn not to open your mouth. And then Amber, she was sitting in the front seat. And she was feeling all sympathetic for her. I grabbed her sandwich and threw it out the window. I rolled the window down and threw the sandwich out the window. I said, how dare you even be sympathetic for that trash?
Good.
How dare you be sympathetic for a little brat?
It's good.
Don't be sympathetic for that garbage. Be sympathetic for it. I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to be grateful for what you get. Grateful for what you get. Grateful for what you get. I told him, I said, there might come a time in America where we'd be glad to eat cockroaches off the floor.
Right,
might be glad to eat a cockroach off the floor. It's happened in other countries. It just can't happen here. We hate God, we love sodomites, we love sin, we love everything that's ungodly. And we expect God just can't judge America because our founding fathers, whatever they were. Most of them hated God too, by the way. You don't believe me, go look them up. George Washington wasn't a Christian, all these people. George Washington was a Christian. Well, you know what? He got baptized by a Baptist, sprinkled by a Methodist, sprinkled by an Episcopalian. He went to the Moravians down here in Winston-Salem. He went to the Catholics. He went to everybody. Donald Trump and Mike Pence are Christians. But guess what? So is Barack Obama. He sung Amazing Grace in a Baptist church. How more Christian can you get? They've all been Christians. Abraham Lincoln was a Christian and he was an atheist. Up until the Civil War really started kicking in. And he said, well, you know what? We need God. There has to be a God. I have to have God. I can't do this on my own. And he saw that there was a God. I tell you what, you look at the Revolutionary War, some of our founding fathers did see that there had to be a God.
I believe it.
You start reading about the fightings and stuff that were going up in New York State and up there way up north and whatnot, how it would rain on the British Army and wouldn't rain on our soldiers. Certain things like that would take place. You look back and you say, wow, it looks like the mighty hand of God had something to do with that. It would rain on them in one field across from where our soldiers were. Our soldiers could march to where they were and fight them. And there'd be times where their soldiers couldn't do anything about it. But anyways, what are you talking about? I'm talking about being content with what you have. Being content with what you have. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You know what David did whenever he went out there on his balcony? The lust of his heart came out and he saw another woman. You know what he was? He wasn't content with the women that he already had. He had to have Uriah's wife. Ain't that something? Ain't that how we are? Ain't that how we are, friend? The lust of our, you know what's in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They're not of the Father, but they're of this world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And ladies and gentlemen, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You can be more than conquerors through him that loved you. You can be an overcomer. Ladies and gentlemen, the things that are in this world, everything in this world promotes the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. How many people really want to run into people that they went to school with, especially the ones that have money? Why? Because of the pride of life. Pride of life. I don't have a big time job. You know, it's funny to me, people come up with these big time jobs and their names for jobs, and really it ain't anything that's that great big of a deal. I have so and so job and everything else. I remember I worked down there at Steam Source, and we were all called carpet cleaning technicians. I'm a technician. Really, all I am is a carpet cleaner. I'm a technician.
Just a stinking job.
I'm a technician. It sounds really good, but all I was a carpet cleaner. That's all I was. I was real fancy. What are you? I'm a technician.
That's right.
Sounds like something you have to go to college for. Everybody's job is something that has a really big name. It ain't all. But you know what? People have pride. They have pride. They'll come up with a name for something that they do.
Went to MIT for that.
Yeah. It's amazing. You know why? Because the pride of life.
Sure.
Pride of life. I talk to my wife and people, and you know what? If a man will work down at McDonald's and that's the best he can do.
Appreciate him.
That's the best he can do. That's a decent man.
Sure, but
I don't know where that man came from. You know, there's people that have been strung out on dope, like Del Morey. He can't just go get a job everywhere. He had to go work at McDonald's. And you know what? I salute that. Sure. I salute a man that'll sit and work at McDonald's. Sure. I tell you what, it takes a little bit, too. I don't sit around and think they have just some easy job and everything else. They're just a bunch of scumbags. I don't want to work at McDonald's because I think that it would be too hard for somebody like me. I'm just being honest with you. I don't think it would be that fun of a job. I just... Having to serve people, have people spit in your face, throw burgers in your face, cuss you out because you didn't get their order exactly right. I wonder what it'd be like if we went down to your job and looked at every little mistake that you made.
That's it now.
We like to run our mouths about those little peasant people because we can, because we're better than they are, ain't we?
Right.
Better than they are. You might not be in the sight of God.
That's right.
Might not be in the sight of God. Tell you what, I have more respect for somebody like that than somebody that went to college and don't work. I have a whole lot more respect for somebody that'll work at McDonald's than somebody that's too big to work at McDonald's because, you know, they're somebody. If you're too big to work at McDonald's, then you're just too big. Just too big. I saw a man that played in the NBA with Michael Jordan taking people's orders up there at the Dario. Ain't that something? He's a pretty special, well-known man, and he wasn't too proud to take people's orders down there at the Dario.
Cleaning tables and everything.
When I saw that, I was like, you know what? I respect that man. I respect him. He's not too I know what he was doing. He was trying to learn the system so that he could start his own. But you know what? I thought to myself, you know what? That's pretty decent character. Somebody like you, he's not too big to clean tables and to take orders. Would you like fries with that? I think he's a millionaire, but he's not too big for something like that. Ain't that something? We got people that they're just a little bit too high for something like that. A little too high up for something like that. You say, does that have anything to do with it? He said high-mindedness.
Right.
High-mindedness. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, high-mindedness. That comes with money. That comes with pride, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, high-mindedness. Ain't that something? I tell you what, there's a lot of high-minded people today. A lot of high-minded people today sitting in our churches. You know what I told my daughter the other day? I said, you know what, you ought to always be able to be taught something. Dumb people can't be taught anything. Dumb people can't be taught anything. You know why? Because they already know it all. They know it all.
Dumb people can't be taught anything. Do you know what? You find somebody that can be told something, they're usually a pretty intelligent person. Somebody that can be told something. So you ought to always be willing to accept the truth. A dumb person can't accept the truth. They can't listen. They can't learn because they know it all. The Bible said a fool is wise in his own eyes. He's wise in his own conceits. He thinks more of himself than he ought to think, friend. More of himself than he ought to think. Has all the answers. Why? He's just an ignorant person. Ignorant person. High-mindedness. High-mindedness. And Brother Pat back there on the wall, we were talking to him last time we saw him. I never forget what he said. He said that he used to go preach with Harold Seitler, and they'd be in camp meetings together or at a meeting or something, and Harold Seitler never left. You know, a lot of these big-time preachers, they leave when all the afternoon service is gone.
2 o'clock service.
Yeah. They leave during that service. You know why? Because them idiots can't teach them anything. That's what they think. And then I understand there's some of them that are old, they're tired, and there's some of them that just pray. Very rare select few of them. Somebody like Don Green, he's spending that time praying. Used to. But you know what's amazing? Some of these big shots, they ain't got time to sit and listen to some of those dumb afternoon preachers. Because they ain't the big shots in some of these camp meetings. I tell you, it's amazing. It's amazing to me. Harold Seitler, he's that man on the wall. He said, why do you sit in these afternoon services and everything else when the other big boys don't? He said, you know what? If a 20-some-year-old has something to say out of the Bible, I guess it's just as important as somebody that's in their 60s or 70s. So he said, ain't that something? Harold Seitler, to me, I know he wasn't very well liked by the majority. Nowadays, they praise all these, like Lester Olof, they praise guys like him.
Satanism.
They hated their guts when they didn't believe a single thing that those men said. They do the same thing with Sammy Allen. They don't believe a single thing that man says. They mock the things that he... I get up and say the same thing. You get up and say the same thing. Tim McVeigh, Brother Askew, we all can get up and say the same thing, and we're just a bunch of idiots. But Sammy Allen, you know, he's a good man. They don't believe a single thing that the man said. Don't believe a single word of it.
That's right.
But you know what? He had some power and some influence with men and with God.
Right.
And he had some power with men, and he had a camp meeting. So therefore, they had to respect what he said, because he can get me in there to preach. And if I preach there might be some other preachers sitting around that might hear me, and they might want me to come preach in their church. And that's how the system works. That's how these godless, ungodly preachers work.
Yeah.
Wouldn't know God from a billy goat. I'm telling you, they wouldn't know God. They don't a bit more believe God, respect the things of God. They don't a bit more honor God than a man on them. I know how their little systems work. I've been around listening to them talk.
Right.
I've listened to them. They got sick. I listened to one man. He's a pastor of a church here, I think, in Asheville. And he was talking about another easy believism church. And he said, you know what? If they lead 125 people to Christ, that week, and most of them didn't get saved, but one of them does, you know, because that one got saved just like the rest of them did, you know, got saved just like didn't get saved. One of them got saved, that's worth it all. Well, what's the difference in how that person got saved and the rest of them that didn't get saved? He said that's just as good as what we do. I said, so it's all right for 124 people to go to hell? To make them a twofold a child of hell?
Right.
That's all right? That's all right. But you know what? I was outnumbered with that crowd. I was outnumbered with them. I can tell you some pastors. I've sat and listened to some of the secrets of their heart come out. Secrets of their heart come out.
Right.
And there ain't no way I'd sit and listen to them and respect what they have to say. Just being honest with you. Gain is godliness. It's amazing. Can't grow a church on the truth. That's what they tell us. Can't grow a church on the truth. Can't grow a church on the truth. That's what they say. Those people don't want to hear the truth. Why? Because they hate the truth. They hate the truth. You want me to be honest about what we are? I'm talking about each and every one of you. I'm talking about each and every person sitting in here. Each and every person that's alive. What you are a monster. A monster of ungodliness and iniquity. That's what we are, friend. Oh, we can seem to do some good things and it seems all right. But our intentions can be so stinking wicked, it's unbelievable.
Right.
You say, how do you know? Because I'm a person. Most people do religious actions out of an ungodly heart.
Right.
Out of a corrupt mind, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Evil surmises. I'm talking about some ungodliness, friend. That's what's buried in the heart of people today. Religious people. We think just as long as we have some measure of success, everything must be good. Everything must be right. We're successful. We're growing. Gain is godliness, friend. The Bible said they're enemies of the cross of Christ. Enemies of the cross of Christ. I guess Martin Luther, if he was even a Christian, I don't know. I wasn't around him then. I wasn't around back when he was alive. I suppose if he was a Christian, he was a failure because he was despised and hated by society. I have some real trouble believing that he might have been because he wanted to kill all the Jews because the Jews had to choose between him and the Catholic Church. He created that choice, which to me is a pretty foul thing. But the Jews have always been in the middle of the Protestant Catholic Church argument. Pretty sad, ain't it? Pretty sad. And you know what? The Jews, they wouldn't denounce the Catholic Church and say that they're evil. Therefore, Martin Luther got mad at them and wanted them all to die. That's what he said. He said, I wish I could baptize every Jew in Germany so that I could drown them to death in the sea. I have a hard time believing that was even a Christian man. I know everybody praises him and everything else. I just struggle with it. Y'all can believe that's Christian all you want to, but the Bible said that that he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Ain't that what we say? Ain't that what we say? But we don't really believe it, do we? Gain is godliness. Ain't that how we think?
Sure.
You're talking about it the other day, and I may be off the subject just a little bit. I may have been off subject about the whole time. I ain't got a note. I'm just trying to go from the Bible. But somebody said the other day, when I started praying, everything got miserable. Everything got harder in my life. When I started trying to pray and get close to God, everything got harder in my life. Have you ever stopped to think, maybe God's just trying to see what's really in you, show you what's really in you? Mm. You know, it ain't always about being easy. You know, most people, they get saved, they go through a real trial. They go through a real, you know, most people that make a profession, they'll go through a real trial after that time.
Sure.
They'll go through some, I know, my wrestling coach, his mother, she made a profession of faith. Do you know what happened? She was tempted to sleep with another man, and she did. Right after she made a profession of faith, she committed adultery against her husband for the first time in her life. Ain't that something? God will show you what you really have. He'll show you what you really have. I know some people that they made, Del Morey. You know, there's some things in his life that got awfully hard after he got saved. There's some, you know, he's gone through some real physical problems since he's been saved. He's gone through some financial problems since he's been saved. He's gone through all kinds of, but you know what? He's stuck in there. He's been faithful through all of his problems. There's been some times where you see where he's got a little off or whatever else, but you know what? He's always came back. I thank God for that. I look at Grandma since she made her profession. You know, right after she said she got saved, she went through some real tragedy. And I'm not going to bring it up. I'm talking about some things that will make your heart break. It's terrible things. Terrible things. It's bad enough when you have a son going to prison. That's bad enough. She had that on top of a bunch of other horrible, horrible things. But you know what? She came out on the other side all right. Okay? It don't always seem like all the bed of roses and all the success. And, oh, because I love Jesus Christ, everything's just going to fall in my lap and I'm going to have money now and my life's just going to be put together. You know what? You might get killed for loving Jesus. You might get killed for loving Jesus. I know people in America that have been thrown in prisons and jails because they preach the gospel. I'm not talking about a bunch of Ruckmanites that are trying to stir up problems in a city. I'm talking about people. Get up, not calling women whores. Not getting up, calling, just cussing people out in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about people that get up and preach the love of Christ on the street corner. Thrown in jail in the United States of America. That doesn't seem too successful, does it? I know a preacher that was rejected by everybody in Maryland and up there in Pennsylvania and everything else. He went over there to Africa and him and his family got killed. That don't sound too successful, does it? It's amazing how people measure success. I tell you what, if you've got God, you've got success. If you've got God, you've got what you need. Gain is godliness. That's what they cry, ladies and gentlemen. But I tell you what America needs. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. Contentment and godliness. Contentment and godliness. You ought to be happy with what you have. You ought to be happy with what you have. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that the one thing that people need more than anything in this world is the Lord Jesus Christ. I look in families. And I see people's lives that are destroyed because of sin. I see people that have came from the same place, the same situation. That there's something different about them. There's something different about them. Wow, they've been born again. They've been born again. You know what, Brother Clayton, he's not a success in this world. Probably ain't a finer Christian man that I know of. But you know what, he gets treated like he's an idiot.
Sure.
By a bunch of lost people. I don't think they're saved. I ain't going to tell my daughter that they're saved. My daughter was asking me the other day if so-and-so can be saved doing what they do. I said, I'm not going to tell you they are. I ain't going to tell you that they are. Tell you what, if I don't see Jesus in you, I don't think you're saved. I'm just going to throw that out there. I just don't believe it. I understand you can be carnal and everything else. I know some carnal Christians that I see Jesus in.
That's right.
Just throwing that out there. There's some carnal Christians I see Jesus in. Then there's some people, they know how to talk, they know how to act. I don't see Jesus in anything that they do. I don't see Jesus in any of it.
Right.
I don't see it.
Because he ain't there.
The Bible said, try the spirits to see whether they be of God. Try the spirits. Oh, you're critical. Critical.
Yeah.
You're jealous. You're jealous. You know what's amazing? I'll say this. There used to be a time when there was preachers in America that would preach. I'm talking about J. Frank Norris, Don Green's pastor. That was Don Green's pastor, J. Frank Norris. He pastored 15,000 people in one of his churches. 15,000 people in another one. Ain't that something? He'd get up, me and Amber, we were listening to a recording of him the other day.
Preach.
What was he saying? He got up immediately. He looked on the front row and there was some deacons and people. They were talking apparently. He said, I don't want y'all to be talking down there. I'll call you out by name. I'll call your name out in front of God and everybody and let everybody know who you are to 15,000 people.
My God, what if he'd done that today? He'd have about 5'10". Ain't that something? That's the kind of preacher he was. B.R. Lakin, he pastored at the Cato Tabernacle, which wasn't technically a church. It was a preaching platform, and there was other people that would preach there, so all the Baptists associated with him, with all the other preachers that preached there, but it was a way for him to preach and to preach the gospel. He was under Cato there at one point, and they believed the Bible, and they preached. Did you know what? He had 15,000 church members, but that wasn't what he was looking for. You listen to him talk, he said, "I thought I'd always be a country preacher in small churches." When he started out, he took a mule out of Fort Gay, West Virginia, and he went from little Baptist church to little Baptist church preaching, and little revivals were breaking out. He took his little mule and he crossed over into Ohio, and then he crossed over into Indiana, and he went to the Cato Tabernacle. Almost immediately, they heard him preach, and they made him the assistant pastor. Ain't that something? But he said, "I never thought that I'd be anything more than a little country preacher in West Virginia." Ain't that something? But God used him all over the world. I don't have a problem with people having numbers. I don't have a problem. That ain't godliness. That ain't godliness. That ain't God. People would hear the truth.
Right.
I don't have a problem with big churches. I have a problem with big churches. I wish every church was big. I wish every real church was big. I really do. I wish every true church was big.
Sure.
The day of Pentecost came, 3,000 people got saved. Somewhere around that number, about 3,000 people were added to the church. I have a problem with 3,000 people being added to the church in Jerusalem. Let me say this concerning ourselves. I think that we ought to be content with what we have now. Be content. What you have, as far as physical things, carnal things, you ought to be content with what you have now. Because if you're not content with what you have now, you'll not be content with more. You never will. Never will. You'll not be happy. What was it Jerry Lucia said up there in Mount Airy? He said, "Before me and my wife had money, all we ever did was argue about money all the time." He said, "Now we have $80 million. You know what we argue about?" "We don't have enough money." That's what he said. You know why? They wasn't content with being poor. They wasn't content with being poor. You know, I'm going too long. Let me just say this. Everybody's interested today in their children having it better than they had. Mm. You know what? That's destroying people.
Sure it is.
That's destroying. You know what? The goal of parents should be to love those children. You know what? Giving them everything they want isn't love. Loving that child is seeing to it that you raise them and you teach them and you raise them and train them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You teach them to obey. You teach them to submit. You teach them character. You teach them respect. I tell you this, if they ain't got a pot to pee in, they're a better person if they have character.
Sure, buddy.
They're a better person if they know how to respect. They're a better person if they know how to obey and submit to authority. They're a better person if they ain't got a pot to pee in. One day they get married to somebody, even if they have money and they lose it all, what kind of character would they have? What kind of character would they have? I tell you what, that's love. That's loving your kids. Training them up in the way of the Lord. Training them up in the Word of God. Not training them up to be discontent with what they have. You see, people get mad at me about my daughter, about constantly getting her things. That ain't love. Constantly getting things ain't love. Why? Because that ain't good for her.
Right.
That ain't good. If you love them, you won't do that to them.
That's right.
Why? Because that teaches them to be covetous. That teaches them to never be satisfied with what they have. If you love them, you won't do that to them.
Do that.
You won't do that to your kids. You won't do it to your grandkids.
Right.
They'd be better off with nothing.
Right.
I told Gracie this morning, I said, "There's little girls in Africa that ain't got a doll that are happier than you are. They ain't got nothing. They don't have a toy. They're just as happy."
Or in America.
There's little girls in Asia that ain't got a toy to play with, and they're just as happy.
Sir.
Whoa, what about that? Ain't that something? They're just as happy. Would you be happy without the toy? Would you be happy without the gun, the car, the boat? Would you be happy without any of those things? Whatever it is? Would you be content with that? The reality of it is most people, no, they wouldn't be. They wouldn't be. Most people in here, no. What if you did lose everything and you ended up in a tent? Would you be happy? I know a preacher that lived in a tent. Of one, Jack Woods. He and his wife lived in a tent.
For years.
Down in South America. I wonder if some of you women would be happy with a tent in South America on the Amazon. No, you probably wouldn't. Because you ain't happy where you are now. You know what? If you had Bill Gates' house in Montana, which I was looking at the other day, it's pretty nice. But you know what? If you had his house out there in Montana, if you ain't happy with what you have now, you wouldn't be happy with that either. Nah. Just like he's not. I tell you what, if I just had a beach house, that'd be enough. You know, everybody that got a beach house, you know what else they have? They got a mountain house. They got a mountain house too. You know why? Because the beach house wasn't good enough. You know what? A lot of these people that went up there and they got them a mountain house. You know what else they had to get? They had to go get them a beach house. You know why? Because the mountain house wasn't enough.
That's right.
It just wasn't enough. You'll never be content without Jesus Christ. You'll never be content without godliness. You'll never be content. Why? Because just full of lust and covetousness. Covetousness. There's nothing that you have I'm other than sentimental things, but even then, there's nothing that you possess that you should be willing to get rid of. And under the circumstances, there's nothing. Nothing. There's nothing that you should live for other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. Nothing. Father, I pray that you'd help us today. God, I pray that you'd help us to be content with the things that we have. God, I pray that you'd forgive me for being so scattered. Dear God, I pray that you'd help us to get wisdom from the